Blog Talk Radio.
We have no music, Nancy.
There's no music. Oh, no.
I feel like I need to talk in an English accent because she does.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no, our audience, they're missing.
They're gone. We're all alone.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Just
such as it is.
Rolling across
the floor. Fiddle
faddle. Oh, my.
Well, anyway, well, it's been a little while since we've had our show, so I thought
it
we would do the topic of working with salespeople, the grunt work of prospecting.
Ah.
And the discipline it takes to consistently do those tasks so that you actually get to share your story with your prospects to turn them into customers. And a lot of people
so
don't like
me
doing
of
that part.
And being rejected.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. You are. Good show, dear. Yes, good show. So,
fascinating.
And a lot of it is just doing the same routine, making the contacts, trying to get through the right the decision maker, getting past the gatekeeper, getting, you know, maybe having conversations with the admin assistant and all those things that people, and I personally like to cold call. I've been told I'm the cold calling queen in past. It was not a title I gave myself. It was given to me by others.
Wow.
And, yes. And so, but, you know, when salespeople really learn how to do that, that's when they really start to rock and roll, I think. You know, everybody wants the glamorous, like the going to the meetings or getting to do a demo or, you know, all that stuff. But
right.
There's all this work that goes into it before that. And if you get really good at that, it becomes easier for you, for one thing. You know, some people dread that because it's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, thought we could talk about that. And one of the reasons I want to talk about that is because I'm now working with a company called Frontline Selling.
Uh-huh.
And so Frontline Selling, so I got to witness their process, which was really interesting for me because they're using our simulator in it.
So you not only sold to them, now you're selling for them. That's a unique
there you go,
I mean,
exactly.
You have an interesting perspective on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And because I didn't really understand kind of how they were embedding this into their process.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do really, really well is help companies get in front of the person that is the decision maker, which is really hard, with the ability to tell them about their products and services or their solutions.
Right.
And it's very much a discipline around make the phone call. If they're not available, talk to the admin assistant. Try to get the meeting with the admin assistant. If she or he is somewhat hesitant, then you say, well, we usually work with these other people. Could I talk to them perhaps? And you kind of create what they call the DNA of the organization so that as you uncover all the people that are kind of touching points to the person you're really trying to talk to, that eventually you'll get to actually have a conversation with that person.
Right.
And
helping
so,
you be ready for having that conversation, I would imagine, too.
Right,
which
right.
is a whole different thing besides just getting them to come to the meeting.
Yes, you're exactly right. And so part of that is, so I got to see them use the simulator, but what was missing in there, so they're very disciplined about, okay, you make the call, they call them, they have different thing labels for them and different steps and sequences of steps.
Uh-huh.
But the one thing that I think that will enhance that, and as an actress, you definitely know this, that it was they weren't really taking into account how something was being said. So they've all these simulations that you actually helped build. You're part of the voices in their simulations. And it dawned on me, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, any monkey can just read the script and make the phone calls and get through the gatekeeper and do all these steps. But if you're not saying it in a way that shows that you have poise, confidence, you're somebody that you want to have a conversation with. You know, if you're mm-hmm. you're saying in a way like, "Can I get a? I want to get a meeting with them." You know, really aggressive versus, you know, I'd just like to get a meeting with them.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that, you know, I think we're going to introduce. And once you get past the what to say, I mean, that's they're all kind of stumbling over the what to say. And once that started to click with them, then I'm like, all right, now, and just any type of, you know, as an actress, you know, once you get your lines down, then you can have the creativity of kind of personalizing it somewhat for the scene, so to speak.
Absolutely.
You know, and so when you've been in commercials or different plays and things like that, what's that process that you go through as far as line memorization, or do you kind of first get the lines down and then you think about, okay, who's my character, what am I doing here?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I'm kind of reworking some of that effort. I used to, and I'm just trying to see if this new way may be better for that, but I used to, because things were so quickly needing to be turned around, especially in commercial audition to work, it's fast. You're still working small little scenes that are small little mm-hmm. stories that have big impact on sales for companies. So I think I typically, I'm still trying very hard, Nancy, to get the words down first. Words with no emotion, just get the darn words down, which is
okay.
Something I don't like to do. I really like to tie it to what I'm feeling, what I'm doing. And here's mm-hmm. the reason I'm trying to not do it that way, because I think that there really is more value in it. Once you have what it is you're going to say down, then that frees you up to try a lot of different ways to do it, different emotional
mm-hmm.
stakes to it, different
right.
things you're trying
right.
to convey. You hear yourself doing a lot of different ways, and I think that frees you up to be open to a lot of different things, because if you rehearse your lines tied with a pretty good idea of how generally they're going to want that script to be done in your head, what I have found is when they then ask me in the audition, let's see something totally different. And I have an improvisation background, and that should be relatively easy, but I know I could be more out of the box if I hadn't rehearsed so heavily one distinct, what I think is a logical read of this text and what you're looking for. Because
mm-hmm.
very often, I think what gets you the job, which gets you the sale, gets you the anything,
yep.
is being able
yep.
to read the situation in the moment, know what you have to say, and then but be really open to what's happening right at that moment so that you're responding in a way that is absolutely natural
mm-hmm.
because you're dealing with
yep.
what's happening there. You're not dealing with a,
right.
I'm going to say these words at this time and then I'm going to take a breath here and I'm going to move my hand this way. I mean, there's some actors that really do think about their lines in that manner, as salespeople think about, oh, now what I'm going to say, and this is my bottom line, I always put my right hand down with the outside of my palm down on the table. That's how I do that. Well, you cease being natural, and
uh-huh.
and we as human beings we're really good at knowing when somebody's being real and there
right.
and present with me
right.
or being not.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's what they talk about. It becomes part of your muscle memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that as you're, like you say, let's say somebody's giving you a response that you didn't get in training. So,
right.
Like, oh, how do I respond to this? But if you have the drill down, and so I actually listened to some of the more seasoned people that had, they recorded their calls, and it was funny. I mean, they stuck to their process, even though they may have been getting some responses that weren't quite by the playbook, so to speak.
Right.
But they stuck to it, and boy, did they got the meeting lined up. It was just like, oh my gosh, it was just so interesting to make those observations around. Okay, they're sticking to the script, but they're sticking it. Even though they circled the person back to kind of their pathway
mm-hmm.
to get to the end goal, but it wasn't on, you know, point by point by point from the script. But because it was so ingrained into her muscle memory,
mm-hmm.
she kept taking them down that path, even though it wasn't necessarily, like you say, kind of a surprise like part of the, you know, the conversation took a different spin, but she kind of kept looped it back. And so if you're if you are so confident in your lines, so to speak, your script, and like something happens on stage that's not supposed to, or somebody forgot their line, you know, bring it back, you know, just don't get all freaked out. And so that's what happened to this girl. She didn't get freaked out because the person she was talking to took a different direction. It's just, she's like, okay, I'm going to, all right, okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, what I'd really like to do is this, 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 or what I really, you know, what my goal is to do is blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, having that discipline through practice or through rehearsal, just like you've learned in different plays and things like that, it's just makes it for a better experience, but at the same time, because you're rehearsed and prepared, you've done this enough that it doesn't trip you up and freak you out, and then you're like, oh my gosh, it just, and then everything starts to unravel.
Absolutely, and I think what you can tell yourself or realize when you're, if you're freaking out in that situation, oh my God, like maybe I need to practice, you know, out of the box questions being thrown at me. You know, that's certainly something to do. But again, I think the skill you're trying to keep with is the skill of being connected to that person that you're talking to and being available and aware to have a connection with them so that you're in the moment with them. I know that's so common to say these days, but I mean, really, if you're in the moment with somebody, you don't freak out when somebody says something. You go, oh, wow, I've never thought about that. Let me think about that for a second.
Right.
Well, and you don't get tripped up. But if you go, oh, I've tripped up, I'm like, oh, that's a great example of, or a reminder of, I am not in the moment with this person. Because that's not how we react when we're in the moment.
Right.
I think we react with wonder and interest when we're in the moment. And I think we react with fear when you didn't say the right thing.
Yes. It
means I've got an idea of how this conversation is supposed to go, and you're not following your lines. Like, wait. It's a human interaction. You're going to get farther if you're there with the person than if you are trying to keep them to the rails that you've designed for your meeting, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does. But so it'll be interesting to kind of make these observations, because then I turned on, I said, well, you guys aren't using the emoji meter. And so the president comes like, well, what's it take? I said, I just have to check a box in the system. He's like, that's it? I'm like, all right. And then because I'm going to the King and I next week here in Chicago, at the opera. And so I said, so let it be written, so let it be done. Which is the line he keeps saying over and over and over again.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, but and so I turned it on, and so this morning I noticed that one of the founders was doing a demo with someone, and so his voice was being measured, his emotion analytics, and I'm like, oh, and it was enthusiastic, passionate. I thought, oh, this is perfect. This guy's going to be all over this. So I took a screenshot of it, and I sent it to him. I said, hey, look, capturing, you were doing a demo, I can see, and I thought you might like to see your emotion analytics. He's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. He's like, how did it do that? And he's like, he said, send me something so I can understand what this means. And I was listening to one of the new hires that they brought in, and she was just kind of rolling through on, like, leaving a voicemail practice session. And I said, well, the emoji meter, if that was turned on right now, it would say low energy. She's like, what do you mean? I said, no, you're kind of slumped over for one thing, and that's going to impact the way that your voice carries.
Absolutely.
You were saying it slower because you still aren't quite sure what to say, so I probably detected that as, again, kind of a lower energy type of vocal projection. And so sure enough, I checked on one of hers today, and it came back low energy. I want to say, see, I told you.
Right. But the nice thing about those emoji meter and those analytics that go along with it is that it's sometimes we have a hard time seeing when we're not doing something that we think we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of reasons for why that can happen. But hearing it in your voice and seeing it in a report that isn't a person who you may have a great relationship with or not. It's just a way to get that information in a very, I think, non-judgmental kind of way, just a very here's
very,
where you think you are and here's where
very
you
very objectively
seem to be.
Yep.
That's
yep.
the word. Thank you. I was like, it's not subjective. It's yes, right. Yep. Right. And you know what you choose to do with that.
Very yeah. And so but then back to the whole kind of the discipline side of it. So it's making the calls, getting the contacts, and just repeating this over and over again. And it's funny because they've tracked like literally a million interactions. And because they've scientifically measured this, you know, so they can very truthfully say, by doing it this way every single time, they don't want to say we guarantee, but we know for a fact this is going to guarantee your chances of having more appointments more often than the method that you've been using.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that it's interesting because, you know, I walked around the floor where the other people that were working, and every single one, you walk by one cubicle, they're all saying the same thing. And these are people that have been on the job for years because they know it gets results.
Right.
And then, you know, some weeks you won't, you know, you may have just a ton of voicemails, but they even talk about how to leave the voicemail, and just because it's like a commercial, you know. You're just hearing that name, hearing the company name in a voicemail, and then, oh, you get an email from them, and, oh, then your admin assistant says that you called, and then your CFO said, oh, yeah, I got an email from them, so maybe you should talk to them. So it's just kind of that repetitiveness around getting familiar with hearing the name, hearing what you provide, and then finally, because all they're asking for is 20 to 30 minutes of their time. That's it. And if it's a CEO or CFO or VP, you know, somebody at a very high level,
that's a lot of time
gonna,
for them.
Well, they're going to be like, yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, if within 10 minutes they don't like what you hear, then they more than likely will just end the conversation anyway.
Absolutely.
You know. Anyway, but I just thought that
that
was
kind of... But
that
suggests that you really need to have that initial 2-minute conversation really be something that's interesting to that person. And you better know what it is that's going to get them interested in hearing more. Right?
Yep, exactly. And the fact that I got you on the phone. Because what they're trying to sell is helping that organization get more appointments. So the fact that they got an appointment with them to talk about this just proves their point. They said, well, this is how I got you on the phone.
Right. Good.
Like, well, I got
right.
you on
they're
the phone,
using,
right?
They're drinking the Kool-Aid that they're selling.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's really probably not the best analogy, but that does, yeah.
And that's
yeah,
the,
we all drink the lemonade.
Yeah, and everybody wants to be the sales superstar and closing the deals and negotiating the contracts. But truth be told, you know, and let's say they have really good seasoned salespeople, but they hate doing that part of it, or they hate, you know, combing LinkedIn and other resources for leads. They're like, let us do that for you. I just got you on the phone. I've proven that our system works.
Yeah.
But it's the grunt. That's the grunt work. That, yeah, you're paying somebody $70,000 a year, and should they really be spending 50% of their time doing this?
Right.
It's just a nasty evil of the job. It has to be done because customers just don't fall out of the sky.
Right. Right.
As much as we'd like that to happen, and so yeah, sure, use us. Let us do this. We've proven that it works. So we'll either do it for you, or you can embed our system into your sales process and use our discipline. So maybe you have different tiers of salespeople already. So teach that first tier how to do this so that they can hand off those qualified leads to then your season. And it's just this whole discipline.
Right.
So, yeah, and it works. But the piece that was missing that I think certainly can be added is the way that you speak and the way that you engage and the enthusiasm in your voice and the confidence, because, you know, and some of that goes with just in the hiring process, you hope that they've had a chance to at least listen to that person and see that they can speak intelligently.
Right.
But even one of the gals was fairly young, in her mid-20s, and she kept using the word but, you know, but.
And that's stopping
so the, yeah, so the trainer did guide her to say, you know, try to stay away from that word. And, you know, that's something that it's just your word choices is something else, especially they themselves tend to hire people that are maybe a little bit younger in scale. And so I'm sure they've had to coach some of them around the use of like, the overuse of the word like. Or awesome.
I would imagine even asking questions, like turning the end of a sentence upwards, is often a very youthful technique. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Upspeak. And it's a question every time I talk.
But it's not. But it's a way of, like, people-pleasing, I think.
Yeah.
Do you like
it,
me?
It,
do you
it
like
is.
Me? Do you like me? Do you like me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who was I listening to that? I think it was an article I was reading that even – and women are probably notorious for this. They'll say, when they introduce themselves, like, hi, my name is Nancy Monroe. Or versus, hi, my name's Nancy Monroe. So
right.
If you say, you go up and the end of your word, it sounds more tentative than
it
if you go down.
It also suggests you're going to say more things. And I think it can be, from a subconscious level, feel like you're trying to hijack the conversation.
Right. Right.
And
exactly.
I had a fiance that was very sensitive to those kinds of things. It's like, are you going to finish a sentence? Yeah. No, that was it. Oh, yeah, it was just, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's halting of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to see if my little audience.
Did you get them to come in the room?
I was trying to encourage them to come in
the
room.
They've gone
and
to
I don't
Oprah
know. I'm having issues.
Ellen.
I had actually, yeah. Oh, yeah. My daughter was on the, what's his name?
Oh, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. I thought Harvey, but what's his first name? But she was in the audience. But she was on like a Mother's Day special because she's expecting. And so she was supposed to be maybe on the panel, but they changed that around. And so she got to sit in the audience.
Yeah, they do that stuff. Yeah.
And she did say, oh, yeah, she actually walked away with $1,000 of free stuff.
Wow.
And she's like, oh, I felt really good about that. Then I watched Ellen's show, and Ellen gave over millions of dollars worth of free stuff.
Well, let's
for
say
her mother's
Steve Harvey
special.
Versus Ellen.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey worked for Ellen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No kidding. So anyway, but I just thought today would be a good time to talk about that and kind of look down the road and see other sales enablement types of techniques. It's just that is the discipline, and that's kind of the grunt work of the beginning stages of getting a sale. And so focusing on how can I do that better? How can I do a process that's repeatable and doing it in a pattern that gets you to the right person for even just a short meeting? That's all it takes, you know, once you have that short meeting, if for whatever reason it's not of interest, I mean, every organization is selling something. And to enable them to sell something to more people more frequently, I think that would be of interest to people.
Absolutely.
You know, call me crazy, but even nonprofits are selling something. You know, and I've always said, if you have to have a conversation as part of the sales process, why aren't you letting people practice those conversations to improve your chances of making sure those conversations get the end result you're looking for?
Right.
And it's just like acting, just like rehearsing. You know, if you're on stage and nobody's practiced their lines, or they've gone through them once and they stumble through, it's chaos. It's no fun for the audience, for sure.
No.
You know, so think about who your audience is in the sales world? And if you were performing in front of an audience, how would you behave? And would you want to be up there unrehearsed? I don't think so.
Right.
I wouldn't be. I mean, I'm a professional entertainer occasionally. You are, obviously, and that there's nothing worse than being in front of hundreds of people and not knowing what to do. Or think you know what to do, and you get halfway into it, like halfway into a song, you're like, oh, crap, I didn't, what's going on here?
Right.
And then your body takes over. Then your nerves take over, your knees shake, you have trouble getting back on track, your voice starts to tighten.
Tension.
There's tension.
To operate above the tension.
Yeah, and then you're just exhausted, too. It's just exhausting. And you get off there thinking, I never want to live through that again. Boy, I'm going to practice this song, or I'm going to make sure I've practiced this 100 times. And then, guess what? It comes into, ta-da, muscle memory again.
Right. But don't practice it the exact same way each time. You know, just
right. Yep.
It's,
or try to trip yourself up. Try to throw something in there.
Right.
Like maybe a different pace or a different tempo, or, you know, start at a different verse or start at a different part of the script.
Right.
So that it's not always just, oh, I have to do it in this sequence. Jump in the middle of it and start there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
do it
anyway, on that note, I think
well.
I think our audience, they're not here to, you know, egg us on and to encourage
it's
us.
Okay. That's
you know,
how we appreciate them, is by knowing that they're not here today. And
that's right.
We miss them.
They'll be back. They will.
They will.
Be back.
They're on vacation.
I guarantee it.
You know.
Yeah. We'll give them a break. You know.
It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. So
yes,
I can
yes,
understand why they'd be walking down by the waterfront.
Millennium Park, something like that. Maggie Daly.
Buckingham Fountain. Yeah.
And I hear there's zip lines coming to the city this summer.
I heard that too. Like a gondola kind of a thing, right?
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah,
you zip
I'm very excited
line.
About
you zip
that.
Line.
Oh, no, then we're talking about two different things. I heard about a gondola
no, a
that they're
line.
Planning.
Nope. Yep.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap the show up. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and good luck in selling out there and getting your discipline on, and hopefully you'll be successful. So thanks, everyone.
Yeah.